Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, attorney Shannon Pierce joins us from Fenimore Craig. We're going to be talking labor issues, including no competes, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Shannon Pierce. She is an attorney with Fenimore Craig, specializing in labor issues. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So one of the questions that's come up both publicly and privately to me in the last couple of months has been no-compete clauses. Mm-hmm. Where are we with no-competes? How legal are they? How well do they stand up in court? And what should people face with them or face with having one at the end of an employment situation be dealing with?
That is a loaded question. And
I got 19 and a half minutes.
Well, and there's so many different components to that. If I could start maybe back in 2016.
You start.
In 2016, we had a case called Islam versus Golden Road Motor Inn, where Ms. Islam had signed a non-compete in connection with her employment, where she said that after she leaves her employment, she won't compete for 1 year within 150 miles. And when I say she won't compete, I mean she said she would not have any affiliation whatsoever with a competitor. Back then, in 2016, a lot of employment attorneys would have said that's probably okay, especially since it's only a one-year non-compete. The Nevada courts disagreed, and the Nevada courts held that the provision was unreasonable because it was so overbroad. And one of the specific focuses in that opinion was the definition of competition. In that instance, the court said, well, hey, Ms. Islam can't even go be a garbage collector for a competitor. It's not even limited to what she actually did for her current employer. That's too much. That's too broad to protect the employer's interests.
And that was based upon what?
The court's finding that non-compete law back in Nevada back in 2016 said that the provision, the non-compete, has to be no broader than necessary to protect the employer's legitimate business interests.
Okay, so was the court concerned about the distance or the fact that the job description didn't match the job description that was held by the employee?
All of the above. The court held that a combination of 150 miles with such a broad definition of what is prohibited competition is what the court said was too far. The 2016 ruling from Nevada also had a key focus of saying we're not going to allow blue penciling, which is industry lingo for allowing the courts to rewrite portions of the provision that are deemed to be too broad.
So, and that had happened before, correct?
Yeah, for a long time we had considered Nevada to be a blue pencil state, meaning that if the court said 150 miles was too much, the court could strike out 150 and put 75 instead. And so as of 2016, the courts no longer had that option. But the legislature, after that, in the next session, said, well, we're going to bring blue penciling back, but we're going to redefine how we decide when non-competes are okay and when they're not. And some of the things that the legislature put into the new law in 2017 were not very new. They said that the non-compete can't be broader than necessary to protect the company's interests. That's the same. We also said in the new law that the non-compete can't unduly burden the employee. That's the same. But then they put this new language in that nobody had heard of before and nobody still knows what it means. The legislature said that the consideration to be provided to the employee when they sign the non-compete has to be, quote, valuable consideration. And now we don't just say that the valuable consideration has to exist. We also look at the valuable consideration, and for the first time we compare it to the non-compete. And we say, is it valuable enough to justify how broad that non-compete is? That comparing of the consideration and the breadth of the non-compete is a new thing under Nevada law. And as of recently, I haven't seen a case yet that has interpreted what those things mean.
Okay, so do you think at some point that's going to end up at the Supreme Court in Nevada?
Absolutely. I always tell people give it 12 or 18 months because it's going to take time for a dispute to arise, for it to go through the lower courts, and then to make its way up to the Nevada Supreme Court. But it's coming, absolutely.
I've got to say, you know, in the business that I've been in for most of my life, which is broadcasting, no-competes are standard. And I haven't signed a no-compete since 1986, and I refuse to. My basic premise is, you know, unless you are paying me a significant amount of money not to work that is beyond the compensation I receive on a regular basis from somebody, then I am not going to accept a period of time where I can't work, because just saying, oh, well, that's why we're paying you as much as we're paying you in your salary is to cover that non-compete, which was the story in 1986 when I signed the last one, is just hogwash.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there you can see glimpses of that viewpoint in the new law that the Nevada legislature put forth. The new law says that in the case of an employee who is laid off, that there's a reduction in force, we just don't have that position anymore, the non-compete is only enforceable if you're receiving severance during the non-compete period. But clearly the Nevada legislature didn't agree completely with the viewpoint that you shared, because otherwise it would have said that valuable consideration, what's required for a non-compete, means you're getting paid during the non-compete period. That's not there. The only portion of the new law that says that a non-compete's only going to be enforceable if severance is being paid is in the unique case where somebody is being laid off.
Okay, so if somebody's being laid off, is there a point in law where the severance has to match either what the person was making? Do they need to be paid more than they were making to cover the fact that they're not able to compete? May they go and look for other work?
I don't think we have answers on that yet.
Really?
The new law says that you have to continue to receive pay, but I don't believe it says that you have to receive the exact same pay or more pay. It just says you have to receive severance of some sort. But that takes us back to whether or not the consideration is valuable. One might argue that if I'm getting paid $100 a week to not compete, maybe that's not valuable consideration. We just don't know the answers yet.
Okay, so now let me take the other side, which is what I love to do on this program.
Okay.
Which is, I'm an employer. I hire you to be somebody who is going to, do a job that's going to require secret information, whatever you want to call it, information that should be guarded. And I want to make sure that that person does not have that ability to go to another company and deal with somebody and potentially give away my information, whatever they may say. What's the situation there?
Well, see, now you're speaking my language, because I represent employers, and so this is my comfort zone. But employers absolutely have a right to say that if you're going to enter my workforce and have access to the trade secrets and proprietary information that I've spent years and a ton of money developing, that you should have to agree you're not going to go leave me, go to a competitor, and share everything with them. you know, there are some protections outside of a non-compete that we can put in place to make sure that trade secrets can't get stolen, like a confidentiality agreement. But at the same time, when I leave my current employer and I go to my next employer, some of those trade secrets are still in my head. And so that's where the non-compete really comes into play. The employers, in my view, have an absolute right to say that if you're going to enter my workforce, I should be able to keep you from going to a competitor for at least some period of time. The trick is figuring out who those competitors are, for how long the information that's in my head is going to be valuable and therefore should be subject to a non-compete, and defining what it is that I can and can't do with that competitor. You know, I'm an attorney by practice. If I have a non-compete in place and I decide to go to a competitor and work as a secretary, the question is, do I really present a risk of harm to my prior employer? Maybe yes, maybe no. But when employers decide that they're going to define non-competes narrowly to say you can't have the same job or a similar job over at the new company, and you can't work there for a certain period of time and in a certain geography, the more narrow you can make the non-compete, the more effective your attorneys will be in court trying to convince the judge that the non-compete truly is necessary to protect your trade secrets and confidential information.
What about a non-compete that says, you know, we'll pay you the money that's in the severance, but you can't take any other kind of job in that period of time? Is that legal? Is that, I mean, first of all, it doesn't even sound fair, but is that legal? That I can't be a dishwasher if, you know, I've made an agreement that as an attorney that I'm not going to compete with you?
The question of whether it's legal, I'm not sure we know yet. I mean, if you go back to the Islam versus Golden Road Motor Inn case, that was one of the issues, that Ms. Islam had signed an agreement saying she would have no affiliation with a competitor. In current Nevada law, thanks to blue penciling, even if it's not legal, the courts have the ability to refine it, to make it so that the non-compete is less broad than originally drafted. The question of whether it's fair, I suppose that's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, subjective.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, when it comes to employers, I think the perspective of the employers is, if I'm paying you to be sidelined, I should be able to keep you sidelined. But some may have a different view.
Well, and that comes back to what I was saying earlier, which is the compensation side of it. If that is equal to or above what you would make if you were able to go and work somewhere else, then it seems to me that that's abundantly fair. If not,
then we have to figure out through the court system. I mean, ultimately, the way these laws get interpreted is that disputes arise and they take them to the courts. And so we're going to have to see the right fact pattern come up and go to the courts so the courts can make a determination of, you know, is severance in the form of 50% of your prior level of pay, is that quote-unquote valuable consideration?
With what the legislature did, were you happy with that? Did that make sense to you for the most part?
It did. I would have appreciated some clarity around the notion of valuable consideration, but then again, the lack of clarity keeps me employed, so
true.
Gives me something to do.
Do you think this is going to go back to the legislature before a case would hit the Supreme Court?
I don't see that happening. I think that the legislature is going to give the courts some time to interpret the law that's already out there.
All right, let's take a break. More with Shannon Pierce. Fascinating topic when we come back.
Thank you.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're continuing our conversation with Shannon Pierce. She's an attorney with Fenimore Craig, specializing in labor issues. You know, who gets to decide if the compensation is fair?
Well, you know, the legislature said that the consideration has to be valuable. The legislature didn't provide a definition of that, and so not only do we not know what valuable consideration means yet, but we also don't know the answer to your question, which is who gets to decide it. So sometimes when we don't have an answer, we look in other bodies of law that might give us some guidance. And, you know, if you look at sexual harassment law, for example, when somebody takes a sexual harassment case to court, we ask the victim whether it was whether they were actually offended by the conduct at issue, but then we ask the jury, was it reasonable for the victim to be offended by the conduct at issue? I wonder if that might be the analysis that applies here, that we say we're not going to let the employee decide if the consideration was valuable, because every employee is going to say, nope, it wasn't. but perhaps we may not put all of the decision-making power in terms of deciding whether or not it's valuable in the hands of the employer either. It might be that the courts say we're going to let the jury, or in the case of a bench trial, the judge, decide, which creates an interesting dilemma for employers back at the time period when they're drafting the consideration to be provided in connection with the non-compete. If you have to wait to get to a trial to figure out if you did a good job, that makes the drafting of the non-compete pretty tough, and so you may want to err on the side of keeping it on the more narrow side.
When you talk about the employees saying that they didn't think that the consideration was valuable enough, I would throw back at you and say that, for example, in the broadcasting industry, people want to be employed in the broadcasting industry. They oftentimes take lower salaries in the hope that they will rise up through the ranks. And, you know, they tend to be, I would have to say, in a lot of ways, insecure people. So I'm not sure that they would be demanding higher than necessarily lower, or just get me out of this.
Well, I, you know, as a defense attorney, I love what you're saying. I think you'd make a great attorney. But, you know, by the time the employees get to trial, sometimes they have a different view. Sometimes it's at that point they're willing to say, hey, yeah, you know, at the time I signed the agreement, yes, they were promising to pay me 50% of my pay in order to be sidelined, and that sounded great to get 50% of pay for doing nothing. But now that I'm actually here in this moment and I'm unable to work and I'm only getting 50% of the pay, now it's not fair, now it's not valuable. The point is, you never know if the employee is going to acknowledge that what they signed at the outset of employment was fair. And the question is whether or not the judge and the courts will say that we're going to leave it solely in the hands of the employee to decide whether or not it was valuable. I sense that we'll give a more objective analysis to that term, valuable consideration, when the time comes.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back more with Shannon Pierce after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Shannon Pierce. She's an attorney with Fenimore Craig, specializing in labor issues. Sexual harassment. You know, when I started out in the workforce, you know, we could joke around, we could do all kinds of things. We have completely lost our sense of humor as a society in general. But now, I can't imagine a time where I, as an employer, have to stay further away from my employees, male or female, than ever before because of the tension surrounding sexual harassment.
Yeah, you know, it's a changed era thanks to what started in Hollywood and it's made its way around the country with the Me Too movement and the allegations against folks like Harvey Weinstein. But at the same time, I think it's an opportunity for us to grow as a society. I mean, on the one hand, we shouldn't have to come to work and be robots where we can't engage on a human level and can't ask each other, how was your weekend, and nice haircut, and things like that. But at the same time, there are certain behaviors that existed in the workplace 20, 30 years ago that it's not a bad thing that those behaviors are going away. And when I talk to people who have been in the workforce for an extended period of time, I encourage them to think about the perspective of millennials. I'm over 40 now, and I'm working with people that are 15 years my junior. And the people that I work with that are 15 years my junior can't fathom a world in which a woman would walk onto a construction site and be hollered at and whistled at because they've been able to grow up in a time period where that's not happening. So if they're entering the workforce with that mindset, it forces those of us who have been in the workforce for longer to change because what happened 20, 30 years ago is just not going to fly now. And maybe that's a good thing.
And I don't disagree with you, but it's very interesting on this program. A lot of the conversations go on when the cameras aren't rolling. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting throughout this whole Donald Trump presidency and all the things that have gone on regarding one form of sexuality or another. The older the woman, the least offended they were by the president's behaviors.
And that doesn't surprise me a bit because those of us that started in the workforce a while ago, we've seen a lot and we've had to encounter a lot, and so perhaps we're desensitized to it a bit, and it's on us to undesensitize ourselves, if that's a word, and to perhaps get back to the point where we can remember that there are certain workplace behaviors that really should not be acceptable.
Do we ever get back to the time where we have a sense of humor?
I think we do, and I think we will. I do sexual harassment training for clients at least once a week, and I find a lot of humor in those moments because people are trying to find a way to keep a jovial and friendly company culture without crossing the line. I see those efforts being made. But, you know, we're still at the early stages of societal movements like Me Too and Right Now and all that. There may be a time period where we need to not make jokes, and maybe we do need to be a little more reserved in our behavior. But it's my hope that as time progresses, we'll all be able to figure out how to be human at work without crossing the line.
We've got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about marijuana.
Okay.
This has to be an incredible topic that's coming up to you all the time from employers who are trying to figure out, and I know I talked to Supreme Court Justice Hardesty, who said there are all kinds of cases coming to the Supreme Court regarding marijuana. What are the highlights that you're dealing with?
From my perspective, the highlights are when an employer has reason to believe that an employee is under the influence of marijuana at work. You know, 10 years ago, it was just, we're going to drug test you, and if the test is positive, you're out. Now it's a little more complicated. We have to dive into a little more factual analysis of, was the marijuana use recreational or was it medicinal? If it's medicinal, there are certain protections that apply. Under no circumstances are you permitted to be under the influence at work, but deciding whether or not somebody is under the influence is tougher than just doing a drug test.
And are you finding that more and more employers are having a problem with that particular issue? Because marijuana can be in the system for up to 30 days when somebody certainly isn't under the influence of it, but it's in the metabolites.
Yeah, it is a tough issue that companies are grappling with at the moment. And I always like to say that it's moments like this that we create an opportunity for technology to be invented. You know, we don't wonder if somebody's under the influence of alcohol because we have a test for that. Perhaps technology will be invented to enable us to determine at what level in the bloodstream the presence of THC is going to indicate being under the influence and what it's not. But until we either have more guidance from the courts or better technology, businesses are going to continue to struggle on that point.
And similarly to alcohol, the size of a person makes a big difference as well.
I'm sure it does.
So, yeah, it's just a road that seems to be fraught with danger. I'm applauding of the police in Nevada and Utah and Colorado that they are taking what seems to me to be the long view instead of the hysterical view towards marijuana. Mm-hmm. Is that the way it's striking you?
Absolutely. And I honestly, with all the businesses that I deal with on a regular basis, I'm seeing a wide variety of responses. Some businesses want to hold on to strict rules when it comes to marijuana, and some don't. Some recognize that over the long view, perhaps marijuana in the presence of the bloodstream isn't going to be a huge deal. Time will tell.
I was driving along the freeway the other day on 395 and driving behind somebody who was driving about 25 miles an hour on the freeway, and I thought to myself, may have come from a dispensary. But I was reminded of a story that was told to me by a former mother-in-law who was pulled over by the police after visiting a friend at the hospital. And the officer came over and said to her, you know, what's been going on? Have you been drinking or any other substances? No, I was visiting a sick friend. And was I speeding? The officer said, no, you were doing about 50 miles an hour below the speed limit. If you could just drive the speed limit, that would be great. He let her go.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, in the workplace, it really, one of the issues that needs to be figured out is, are there certain jobs that marijuana presence should matter, and are there certain jobs where maybe it shouldn't? I mean, if you're a forklift driver, I really don't want you to have marijuana in your system. If you're a receptionist, perhaps there's not as big of an impact on the job and on safety.
And that's where we have to leave it. Shannon Pierce, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
My name is Reed. Envy Energy and the PUC sabotaged rooftop solar. They put me out of business. I had to cancel 250 projects and lay off 40 employees. And now, Envy Energy wants to kill energy choice. They want to put profits above clean energy in the 34,000 jobs it will bring.
After the way Envy Energy treated us, sorry, you left us no choice.
Competition means more clean energy jobs. Break up with Envy Energy's monopoly by voting yes on question 3.
Sorry, Envy Energy. It's over.
On our next broadcast, the one, the only, Howard Rosenberg joins us. We'll see you then.